0-2.
Hit deep to left field. Ball game. Christian Walker walks it off, and the Astros win it and take 3 out of 4 from the Seattle Mariners.
That's the one Christian Walker wanted. Let him have it. Enjoy the moment, Christian.
All right, that was Christian Walker walk-off yesterday. Kevin Eschenfelder, Jeff Blum on the call for Space City Home Network. Here was Christian Walker with the media following yesterday's game, talking about, hey, what went down on that walk-off home run?
Yeah, it feels good for sure. It's nice to execute in a big moment. It's nice to come through for the guys. This lineup's been picking each other up all year, so I feel like you're earning your keep a little bit, winning a big series at home. Good crowd today. The whole thing was enjoyable for sure.
That was a laser. Were you kind of looking for that pitch, or how did you just kind of approach that at bat?
Yeah, his motion, his leg kick, his arm swing, it was all real quick. Threw 2-4 seams pretty much right by me there. And I just wanted to make sure I did everything I could to get my foot in the ground and be ready to get on another fastball. Not really cheating or guessing, but no reason to go spin there based on how the first two look. So shortened my leg kick down a little bit, just stuck my toe in the dirt and tried to get a good swing off.
There you go. Chess game. Christian Walker won the chess game yesterday, the end of that game.
Ain't no cheating. Ain't no guessing.
No, man.
Yeah, just good old basemanship.
That's
basemanship,
yes.
That's what they call it. That's what we used to call it back in the day.
Back on the playground. Yep.
I think the greater story is that we are barreling towards you getting more and more hatred for declining to put Jake Meyers in the circle of trust. After he continued to ball out in this series, Sean.
Did he ball out in this series? Let me see. He
made it from first to home on that one play.
He did.
Out of hell. That's what I was looking
for. He was 4-for-6. He batted 250 in this series, but he did. He scored a run where you needed that Jake Meyers speed.
Yeah.
I'm going to need at least a week and change in June before I put him in the circle of trust.
I hope you come back from your stupid vacation and Jake is the player of the month for the month of May.
I do.
That's
too.
What I hope.
I do too. I wonder if Paredes has a shot at any sort of hardware here.
For the month of May?
Like player of the week at least. It feels like he's hit like 5 bombs this week. He's had a very good week, Paredes has.
Well, and Paredes has got the Rays coming up again at home.
Yeah.
With that, the Crawford boxes have become his close and intimate friend. That double that he hit yesterday, just up off the wall. Just kissed the Crawford boxes scoreboard. Yeah,
Rosarena kind of mistimed the jump there. Yeah, that was...
Paredes is making that thing his own.
He
wields it like a deadly weapon, the Crawford boxes.
That was part of the calculus of putting him in that trade, was just how Taylor made his swing is. So what did we... The Astros go 10-7 in that 17-game stretch. I would have signed up for that before that patch of baseball, when you consider no days off. And look, when we went into this 17-game stretch, all we knew was that Wisniewski had an elbow injury. We didn't know he was getting Tommy John, although we kind of assumed he was. And we had no idea that they were going to lose Ronel Blanco. For what until I hear otherwise, I'm assuming he's out for the year too.
Wisniewski was low key murkier than I think you're remembering it. It was treated at first like it was necessarily, we didn't know whether he was going to be a starter or a long relief in his first outing, and then he ends up going down. Yeah, I would have signed up for 10-7 at the beginning of it without knowing that you were going to lose 2 starting pitchers along the way, and that you're going to be playing these AAA guys on a bus tour from Sugar Land to Houston.
Yep.
Yeah, 100%, given the way the pitching went, that they went 10-7. Well, very, very good.
10-7, and the series that you ball out and win 3 out of 4 is the one you needed the most. They lost one series in this stretch of, I think they 10-7, so they played 5 series in this thing. They won the series with the Reds. They won the series with the Royals. They split the series with the Rangers. Okay, so that's a split. You lose the series with the Rays, but in one of those games, you blew a late lead. I think they walked you off. So you lost a late lead there. And then you most importantly, you win the series 3 out of 4 against the Seattle Mariners. I think, to me, Seth, the biggest things that we learned about the Astros during the 17-game stretch, like things that I look at and I go, okay, I feel comfortable about this. Like, this feels real. The bullpen is the best thing going with this team right now. the best thing they have going for them. The reason why they can bring guys up from Sugarland and all they need to do is just give you five innings and change, and give up three runs is because you bring in a bullpen that by and large has been a hammer this year. And you can, it doesn't matter who you're bringing in, they're holding it down for the next four and a third, four even, you know, five, whatever it is. I think the bullpen, starting with the no-namers they've got coming in the fifth and sixth inning, going all the way to Josh Hader at the back end, you pulled up some of the numbers earlier. These are some of the best numbers Hader's ever put up. And he's been an all-star multiple times now.
Yeah, his whip is the lowest. If he ended the season now, that would be the lowest whip he's had in his career. So like, he just feels like a dominating closer.
Yeah.
Like he just goes out there and mows people down without a whole lot of drama.
Do you feel confident that this is the bullpen? Dubin. I mean, he's going to give up a run at some point. He's got a zero.
Right.
He hadn't let any run. Like, he's going to give up a run at some point. But I feel like generally the overall performance, there's going to be hiccups because there always are. But this is a really, really good group.
Yeah. No, and the biggest question is just, all right, how long can you sustain it if you've got multiple starters going four and a third innings in any given series? That's they just got to stretch the, you know, Lance McCullers hopefully can be a guy that you can expect to at least get six innings out of. And then some of these other young guys, as they get more acclimated, you're going to depend on it. Because if and when Luis Garcia and Christian Javier come back, they're not going to be giving you seven innings right out of the bat. And likewise with Eric Geddy, it's going to be a buildup.
Yep. So things we learned about the Astros during the 17-game stretch. Bullpen, best thing going right now. Altuve, not dead yet. Not dead yet. We learned
not
that
even
this
close,
weekend.
Sean.
No, not even close. He was excellent.
He ended up having at least a hit in every one of these games and multiple hits in three of the four.
Home runs, and hit for power, good contact.
This is he might just be right back into it now.
Kid might be a player.
And then with Yordan coming back, I guess this would be a really promising series, especially if you figure in that, man, they're still not firing on all cylinders.
They didn't have Yordan for any of these games.
Right. They didn't have classic Yordan at all this season so far.
Yep.
So that's the part. I mean, Yordan and Altuve are going to play better over the second two-thirds of the season than the first third. I guess Christian Walker is just still the big guessing game.
Yeah.
Like he's hitting the ball harder than he has on average in his career. His exit velocity and his hard hit rate are above his career norms.
Yeah.
But he's just not competitive enough as often as he needs to be. Strikeouts are annoyingly bad. But
really
yesterday
bad.
Was good. Yesterday was good.
Yesterday was good, yeah. Like, that, I mean, you can't overstate the Yordan part of it. Like, when he's healthy, peak Yordan is one of the 15 best players in baseball. Just hitting. You know, like, just like, I mean, he's a average to maybe slightly below average left fielder when he plays out there. But just DH Yordan is a top 10 player in baseball, and they've not had that guy at all. And in the last month or so, they haven't even had him in the lineup to pose the threat that, you know, just having Yordan in there has a ripple effect on the rest of the line. Even with a 680 OPS, you still got to be mindful of making a mistake to Yordan Alvarez. He can change
the game.
Making
a mistake, too, and then also just having an extra lefty in the lineup that disrupts the pitcher's rhythm. Where the best thing that's come out of Yordan is the way Caratini has been playing, at least.
You got to
throw somebody out there lefty, and Caratini's really made the most of it.
Yeah, he's had a good little run here for sure. Other things we learned, Cam Smith starting to get it. I would say it's been interesting. The thing he's done his whole life is hit. The one thing he's only done for about 2 months is play right field, and he's been a better right fielder defensively than he's been a hitter offensively, but the offense is starting to come around. During the 17 games that we're talking about here, he played in 14 of them. He started 14 of them. He batted .347 with an .847 OPS. Now, no home runs. He had four doubles. Eventually, Cam Smith needs to hit for power. Like, I don't mean like by June. I mean like career-wise, like they traded for him because they think he can be a 30 home run guy and probably eventually play third base for this team instead of corner outfield. But who knows, man? He might wind up being so good at corner outfield that he stays out there. But he does need to hit, and the .847 OPS is fine. That's good. Like however you get to that number is cool. Eventually, there needs to be home run power with Cam Smith. But just the mere fact that he's starting to get it, he struck out 14 times in the 14 games, which isn't It's not great, but it's better than it was during the early part of the year where it felt like he was striking out three times a game. You know?
Look, for the last 28 days, he's hitting .300 with an OPS of .765.
Yeah.
He's been an above-average Major League Baseball player. His OPS plus on the season now, I think, is up above 100. It's 108 on the season.
Okay.
He's very, very, very promising right now.
Yep.
And you go back to Kyle Tucker. In his first 30 games that he played in Major League Baseball, it wasn't nearly as well as Cam Smith's been doing.
Yep.
So, if he continues playing the way he's been playing for the rest of the season, that's really, really good. And as long as Paredes keeps this up, then the trade in my mind is completely justified.
Yeah, if two of the three turn into real players for you, that's for 1 year of Kyle Tucker, then that's a good trade. Especially if Cam Smith's one of them, and you've got him under team control for however many years, 5-6 years. So that's really good, and he's veering towards circle of trust level for me. I like the scrappiness of this team. They won 10 games in this stretch. Five of them were one-run wins, and then there was another. The one yesterday was essentially it was a walk-off. You know, the only reason it wasn't a one-run win is because Altuve had gotten on base. So it was a late hit that got you that. They've gotten really good with batting late in games. You know, they get good quality at-bats. For a team that does not score exceedingly well, although it's gotten better in the month of May, they're middle of the pack. I think it was Michael Schwab who reported this yesterday that during the month of May, they're ninth in OPS in baseball. They're middle of the pack in runs scored. I want to say they were 13th going into yesterday,
yeah.
So they're probably still holding steady right about there. They're going to need to score more runs eventually. I don't think the pitching's going to be at this tippy-top level the whole year. There'll be a little bit of regression, and we don't know what injuries are going to look like either with the pitching moving forward. But I do like situationally how they've been during this stretch. You know,
that's how I excuse them never doing anything with the bases loaded, because it's too easy, Sean. It's it's too simple for this team. They got to
so
make
bad.
It harder somehow.
They're
yeah,
so bad.
Yesterday, for those of you who are out just enjoying it was a fun game, but
it was.
They left the bases loaded yeah. in the seventh and eighth inning, and it was maddening.
Dude.
It was absolutely maddening.
Yep. So I think those are the big things. And then Jake, so what have we learned about Jake? Have we learned anything about Jake?
I think that my biggest contention was that this year's production is different than last year's production, where it was really good. Like, he was playing as well. His numbers this time last year were about the same as they are this time this year. That this year you can trace it to him actually changing his swing,
yeah.
adding a kick step into his swing, all of these things that seem to have made him a fundamentally more sound hitter. I believe in it more this year than I did last year.
I kind of do too. Not enough to put him in the circle of trust, but I kind of do too. Like, I do. He is striking out a lot less. Like, he's putting the ball in play, and he's a little like Peña, that if he puts the ball in play, he does have the speed to do some things. He's stolen, he gets on base. He's stolen some bases this year, not as many lately as he did the first couple weeks of the season. But he is your everyday center fielder. He literally started and played every single game of this 17-game stretch. They're not messing with center field right now, which I am totally fine with. So I think those are probably the biggest things I think we learned.
The fielding has been – I think there have been some moments, like yesterday, the Astros being a better fielding team is – really ultimately what
Dude,
kept
Peña.
Them in that game and yeah. won that game. A lot of the now getting the bases loaded ultimately didn't do anything for the Astros, but they came with some errors by the Mariners.
Yeah.
And it just you take it for granted over time that, man, the Astros are just rock solid in so many ways in the field.
Yep.
Now, Christian Walker had a rough go of it early in that game yesterday.
He did. Well,
fielding-wise.
Jeremy Peña almost got Christian Walker killed on a throw to first base later in the game, where he kind of bounced it over there. I think it was Peña who threw it over there. But it was Julio Rodriguez was running down first base. Whoever threw it over to Walker, he had to adjust to a bounce and kind of adjust his body to where he's standing on first base, but he's standing in the baseline. And Julio Rodriguez almost plowed him over. They had kind of a funny little moment there towards the end of the game. All right, Alex Bregman, as long as we're keeping an eye on things. I don't know how many of you are keeping a close eye on Bregman and Tucker. We do, because this is a petty show. We like to see what's going on with the Astros that have left the team. Alex Bregman suffered a quad injury over the weekend, and it's being framed as one that's similar to the one he suffered in 2021 when he was with the Astros. Here was Bregman yesterday after being able to sleep, or maybe not sleep, for a night with the pain in his quad, kind of giving the media the skinny on it.
Pretty severe right quad strain, and pretty similar to 21.
Did it surprise you? Because yesterday you thought it wasn't that way.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, it surprised me a lot. But it is what it is, and now try and take it day by day and crush rehab.
Okay, the married with a kid version of Bregman is just so subdued and kind of flatline.
He's always been. He's always talked like that.
My overall point remains, which is I can never tell if he's angry or sad or how he's feeling about the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's just very monotone. Yeah. And that sounded like sad Bregman.
Yeah.
But he doesn't get too sad, Sean.
Yeah.
He's a ball player.
Well,
okay?
He's got to go crush
rehab.
Don't get
too lows with the lows or highs with the highs.
This is the new challenge for him. Look, I'll point out to Red Sox fans out there that when he had a quad injury before, he missed nearly 2.5 months. And he didn't come back as a great version of himself either. He's not like Yordan, where Yordan just comes back from these injuries and then all of a sudden he's got a 1,300 OPS for the week. Bregman was a problem in a bad way for the Astros at the end of that 2021 season when he was coming back from that quad injury. And I think one of the reasons why Bregman got so much money, one of his big selling points the last few years, and one of the reasons that I would have been comfortable, even though his offensive numbers have not even come close to what he was back in 2019, like not even close. He's still a great defensive player. He's still a very good hitter, but he's been durable. Go look at the number of games he's played since that quad injury season. Remember, he went into that offseason and he was, from come hell or high water, he was going to figure out what was going wrong with his body, and he figured it out. And for the last three seasons, he has, other than the gremlins in the elbow last year, he has been healthy all that whole time. And I'm thinking, if you're the Red Sox, that's part of the calculus that leads you to give him $40 million a year, where the numbers that he puts up don't justify it, but the leadership and the health are a big selling point. The leadership will still be there. I'm guessing he's still going to be around the team while he's rehabbing this injury, but that's a, man, for a Red Sox, for a Red Sox team that struggled this year, they've not been good this year, you know?
Then Rafael Devers is not going to be going back to third base, which the Red Sox fans are trying to figure out what the hell. So Devers, who had been the third baseman, who was displaced to DH and was none too happy about it,
right?
Is, I don't know if he's resisting the move back to third, but the team has flat out said no, he's not going to be.
This was kind of funny, because Cora was asked about it, and literally his answer was, it was the one word. It was no. He didn't say it like that. He didn't say it like Devers, but no. Yep.
I don't know, Bregman with those stumpy little legs. Like, he really has some, he puts some effort into it when he runs, because his legs are so short.
Stumpy.
That probably puts a lot of stress on your quad tendons over time.
I would think so.
And then he's getting into his 30s now, and you got to get, he's got to run it, 150% the RPMs of the average person.
Yep.
Because of his stumpy little legs.
Catch up to him, man.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, if you had to guess right now, he's going to be out for 2 months. Do you think he opts in to next year at $40 million, or you think he opts out trying to get a longer-term deal or a bigger deal or whatever?
I think he opts in. I don't think he wants to sit out there and go through the whole rigmarole again.
The only variable to me is there's going to be a work stoppage after next year, you know, and maybe some of these guys want to get their deals locked down before there's a salary cap, or if there is a salary cap, that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it would depend on what he does in the, you know, when he comes
back.
What he does in the playoffs.
Yep.
If he comes back, I don't think him having been injured isn't going to be a factor at all. I think with a lot of people look at that as, okay, he's been a durable player in his career, and that was a one-off injury. We're not going to worry about it. I don't think that'll affect his money unless he comes back and he struggles, and then people start to wonder about it.
Yep.
But it's not like the Red Sox are horrendous. They're still in the playoff mix.
No, they're in the playoff mix. I'm just saying they as a team haven't played to the level Bregman's given them as an individual. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Okay, Ross Tucker, friend of the show, really the genesis of Take a Mania too, if you remember from last week when we had him on. Ross Tucker went on the radio with our sister station up in Chicago, 670 The Score, and man, did he anger Chicago people talking about their quarterback? Would we get this defensive if someone said these things about C.J. Stroud? We will have that for you. Let you hear the Ross Tucker audio coming up next.